Now back to Tales of Werrytown.
First, I thought it was room service, and I thought that we were running a little later than we thought. So I walked over to the door and checked my phone just to make sure. I opened the door, but there was nobody there. It wasn't until I looked down and I saw that there was an envelope on the ground. I picked it up and just examined it. It wasn't addressed to anybody, there wasn't a stamp, there wasn't a name, and I turned it over and it wasn't even sealed. I opened it up and just saw that it was a piece of paper with some coordinates on it. I turned the page over and that was it. Just some coordinates that read. I didn't really know what to make of it, but something was telling me that this was Werrytown. I couldn't explain it. It was just that gut feeling, you know? I closed the door and told the guys what I found. At first, they didn't believe it. We got all excited and pretty much started fanboying over this. We didn't know what it was going to lead to or if this was even serious, so we were trying to keep ourselves somewhat composed, but at the same time, after everything just kind of not really happening and Werrytown just being a little bit not really what we were expecting, this was a huge relief for us. So we just sat down and examined the coordinates. We looked them up and found out that the coordinates lead to some old abandoned church of some sort near the beach. We saw that it wasn't too far away. It was about 4 miles away. So we knew that Augustine wouldn't be able to drive us, so we just got ourselves a lift. When the driver got to our destination, she actually had to turn the corner and park for a second to let us out, since there wasn't really any place for us to be dropped off. Our destination was right next to the street. So we get out and we're looking at our destination right now. We see these fairly large green fences that are fencing off the church, but behind it we could see poking through was the bell tower with the brown tiles on top of it peeking through. So we were just looking for any way to get inside. It was pretty fenced off and we were close to the street, so we didn't want to look suspicious. But we eventually found an entrance and got inside onto the church grounds. We kept a lookout as we just rushed to the closest door we could find. We tried the handle and, well, thank goodness it opened. At first we closed the door and it was pretty dimly lit. We just thought that it was because of the sun beaming through the cracks in the boards. But we turned around and started going deeper into the church, but it wasn't far until we saw something that we never thought we'd see. We just saw that there was grass on the floor. The entire floor was just made out of grass, and it all led up to this shack, this fairly large shack inside of this church. The shack was somewhat on fire, not all of it, but there were patches of it that had fire or scorch marks. We weren't really sure what we were looking at.
"Hello there,"
we heard a man say as he walked from behind one of the support beams. We all reacted, and it wasn't a pleasant reaction. We were all terrified. This guy looked extremely unsettling. He was wearing really old clothing, like settler older clothing. Plus, his body just looked scratched up and mutilated, although all the mutilations appeared as just scorches of fire. It was hard to describe, but think about Terminator. Whenever Arnold Schwarzenegger's character got really beat up and you saw some of the machine inside, that's kind of what it looked like. Except this just looked more supernatural. we found ourselves in a little bit of a situation here. We came to Wherrytown wanting to see the unknown, the supernatural, the creepy, and things like that. But we never really thought about what would happen once we found it. So we were just standing there, staring at this man. And Justin was just barely able to make out the question, "Who are you?" The man replied,
"My name is Eugeneville."
That name struck a chord with me, and I kind of glanced at Wayne, who also glanced at me. "Wait a minute. Eugeneville. I know that name," I said. Wayne replied, "That's the name from the mayor on the podcast, right? You're the first mayor of the town? Is that right?"
"That is true. That's who I am. I have brought you here so that all of you may ask one question each."
We all kind of looked at each other in amazement, but confusion at the same time. We didn't really know what to make of the situation, but before any of us could really say anything, you just heard Justin from behind me asking why he brought us here and if we're safe. Honestly, I'm glad somebody asked that question. That's something that I was honestly thinking myself.
"You are, in fact, safe. You're here because Rillin wanted to give you a show."
We all looked at each other again, this time in more confusion. "Who's Rillin?" We were mumbling to each other. I don't remember any of the chats mentioning a Rillin or anything like that. We just kind of kept murmuring to each other. Michael looked up. "Who's Rillin?" he asked.
"Rillin is one of the gods of this white hole of a place you call town. She's had her eye on you since you found your way here."
"Didn't he say a god of the town or god of the area?" we all asked each other. No, he said a god of the town," Wayne said. "Hey, so she's been watching us since we got here. Why though?" Wayne asked.
"I can't say too much, but she's a goddess of the headcount. She keeps track of all the things and all the people that are of Wherrytown and are not of Wherrytown. That's all I can say for now."
We stood in a state of shock for a moment, and I didn't even really mean to ask this question, but I just asked, "What exactly is Wherrytown?"
"This space in which you call town can be summed up as a paradox. It's an occupied space that takes up an already occupied space. That's why the town needs to shift to different locations. And that's why the town also takes up appearances similar to the space it's already inhabiting. If the town were to stay in one place for too long, it would be cataclysmic. The town is very much like a white hole. It pours out cosmic energy, and that's where the gods come in."
In that moment, we saw Eugene's demeanor change completely. He stood more straight up, and his eyes widened. He broke eye contact with us and started staring at something behind us. The four of us tried turning around, but none of us could move. We freaked out a little bit because we couldn't even turn our heads.
"Well, boys, I hope all of you had fun. The town is about to shift, so y'all need to leave."
With a snap of the finger, all of us blacked out. we came to, we were all back on a plane. Back to Canada. I remember checking my pockets, and I found the envelope that was right outside of our room. I remember putting it on my table when I got home. Unfortunately, none of the footage we took was clear. It all came out either wonky, distorted, or staticky. But the strangest thing is that ever since we got back, I've been hearing weird sounds, and I feel like they're coming from the note. I hear the sounds of people talking, or just strange noises, or sometimes I'll just feel like somebody's watching me. When I was planning to come back to Werrytown to tell this story, I was actually going to bring the envelope with me so I can leave it in Werrytown. But the day I left, I remember I was packing everything, and before I actually headed out to the airport, I went up to go get the envelope. But it wasn't there. It was gone. But when I looked up and out the window, I saw that the sun was setting at 2 p.m.